Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
I remember communion from when I was a child. Even as a youngster, I wanted to understand the bread and cup. But honestly, I did wonder why the bread was so itty-bitty, and the cup was barely a good swig. Don't you remember sticking your tongue down into that tiny cup and licking every drop out when you were a kid? Nevertheless, it was clear to me as a child that communion is not a meal or even a snack. It's about celebrating a precious sacrament and remembering. Today, let's take a fresh look at communion. But first, I suggest take a look at our initial content that launched Scripture Dissection Materials. Tear into it. That episode tells how and why we introduce Scripture Dissection exercises periodically. As we approach the holiday season, you may participate in communion, so it's time for a fresh look. 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 29 provides phrase-by-phrase communion meditations. Let's go through those verses. Verse 23, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Verse 25, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." 26, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. 27, so then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 28, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink from the cup. Verse 29, for those who eat and drink without recognizing the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. So those were the verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 29. Well, now it's time for us to tear into a fresh look at communion. And there are always four categories we explore in Scripture Dissection. First, what does it say? Second, what does it mean? Third, make it personal. And fourth, make a commitment. So the first section is, what does it say? For a fresh look at communion, let's just look at what each of the phrases actually says. Let's start here. Jesus was betrayed. Right before his betrayal, he initiates a meaningful ceremony to help his followers remember him and stay focused. Next point, he gives thanks to Father. Next point, Jesus declares the bread symbolizes his body. This is my body, which is for you. Next point, then Jesus declares the cup of wine or grape juice symbolizes a new covenant between God and man through his blood. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Next point, incidentally, both these acts are to remember Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection. Next point, there is an unworthy manner a person can take communion. Next point, a person should examine their life and heart before participating. And the final point, someone who is not humble and repentant can eat and drink judgment on themselves. That's what these verses say. Now, what do they mean? the next section. Let's explore four words. First, betrayal. Second, remembering. Three, thankfulness. And number four, warning. We're going to start with betrayal. Jesus was betrayed. Incidentally, betrayal impacts his spirit. In fact, it likely breaks his heart, even before he gets to the cross. Betrayal is painful. The next word was remember. To help his disciples remember, Jesus introduces communion. He wants all his followers, then and now, to remember him. Remember his sacrifice, his provisions, and his deep love for them. Remembering brings hope. The third word was thankfulness. Jesus models thankfulness. Amazingly, despite facing death, Jesus expresses gratitude to God. He models impeccable character that represents God. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." God is proud of you when you trust him with resolve. So, believe that he's working all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's from Romans 8, verse 28. It is God's will to be thankful. The final word was warning. The warning is sobering. Jesus teaches communion should be taken in a spirit of humble repentance. First, examine your heart and life before partaking. Look at what's in your heart and how you live each day. Apparently, there's judgment for taking communion too lightly. So that was exploring what this passage means by using the words betrayal, remembering, thankfulness, and warning. Now let's take just a moment and talk about the bread. Christ's body, represented by the bread, is a tangible bridge back to God. Essentially, it's a path to intimate relationship with God and to your original design. As Jesus gives his body on the cross, he takes into his body every sin of every person in every century. Sadly, death is the penalty for all sin. Sin is serious. Equally, God is serious about proving his love for you. Remarkably, Jesus' body resurrects into the glorified Christ, still fully God and fully man. His body proves he remains human, one of us forever. God with us, the name Emmanuel. Christ's human body is a strong indication of what our eternal human bodies will be like. Now let's look at the cup. The cup represents the blood Jesus poured out on the cross. The old covenant requires a transfer, sin onto an animal sacrifice to cover people. The new covenant takes this a step further. Sin onto Jesus to cover sin and eliminate guilt. It's complete and sets you free. Yes, sin is serious. Equally, God is serious about proving his love for you. Remarkably, this unthinkable exchange is your hope for eternal life, plus for an alive and active life. Now, when God looks at you, he sees the holiness of Jesus. That's what these verses mean. The third section, make it personal. Jesus quietly gives his life daily for humanity. He brings glory to God and good to people. When he serves communion, he teaches, "My body and blood is for you." Here are some points about that. First of all, Jesus worships God with great reverence, even though he is God. Second, he serves people, even when he's tired. But he serves God first and foremost. And then the next point, Jesus does works to glorify God and extend good to people. His greatest work is his death and resurrection. So all his life, he served, and he brought glory to God and good to people. Well, a fresh look at communion remembers what Jesus did and why. All right, let's apply what does it mean, which was the previous section, to make it personal. Let's use those four words again. Betrayal. Have you ever felt betrayed? It has definite impact on your spirit, doesn't it? Betrayal breaks your heart. Nevertheless, Jesus knows betrayal. He knows how it feels, and he promises to never leave you because he knows betrayal personally. He knows how you feel. His betrayal becomes your refuge. He becomes your friend. Jesus will never betray you. Okay, that next word was remembering. Remembering is a human need. Here are some points about remembering. First, it helps you focus. To remember God's holy righteousness balanced by his deep love and sacrifice, well, that gives you perspective. The next point, remembering gives you courage to obey sacrificially like Jesus did. Next point, remembering keeps you connected to God's grace and mercy. And then finally, remembering helps you live an alive and active life. Remembering, in summary, helps you to be humble. The word thankfulness. Thankfulness provides the right posture with God. It pleases God when his children are thankful. Consequently, a grateful heart connects you to his love, grace, and power. Truly, the gift of salvation is something to be thankful for. Thankfulness strengthens your character. And then the word warning. Well, warning is the mechanism to keep you humble, grateful, and authentic. Additionally, it's an auto-deterrent to keep sinful thoughts and behaviors out of your life. In other words, warnings keep you in the boundaries of God's love. And that's what Jude verse 21 talks about. You know, we have been saved, but we're still being saved. I'm sure you've heard people say that they were saved at some point in their life. Acts 16:31, after all, says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Sadly, some people give no credibility to being saved based on how they live and speak. Consequently, that's a problem. And here's why. To be saved means, first, believing on Jesus. Second, taking in his life and character. And third, following his example of obedience to God. Additionally, Paul tells you to work out your salvation from Philippians 2 verse 12. So, being saved is an ongoing process. Jesus continues to save your thoughts, responses, failures, and successes as you trust him. Being saved goes on all your life. The fourth section is to make a commitment, and this is where we have application thoughts and questions. Number one, when is the last time you participated in the sacrament of communion? Number two, do you apply the meaning of Christ's body and blood as you take the bread and cup? Three, do you serve God and stay connected to him? And number four, similarly, do you worship God with reverence, even when things go poorly or you suffer in trials. Number 5, how do you handle betrayal? Do you follow Jesus' pattern and forgive? 6, are you remembering all God has done for and keeps doing for you? 7, do you practice being thankful in all circumstances? After all, this is about your character, not your circumstances. Number 8, have you listened to Christ's warning to examine your heart and life before you take communion? And if you'll notice, those last 4 questions had to do with the words that we talked about: betrayal, remembering, thankfulness, and warning. And then number 9, our final question, does your life prove that you belong to Jesus? I have a special announcement. Christmas is right around the corner. We are offering a free course, Prepare for Christmas Without Missing It. You can jump in for tips and ideas to navigate busy Christmas days, for step-by-step strategies to create a rich atmosphere of excitement and fun. Jump in for practical ideas to sidestep stress while connecting with special people and traditions. And jump in for help to connect with Emmanuel and enjoy a peaceful yet meaningful Christmas. Also, if you experience sadness, depression, or grieving, there's a session to help you find fresh hope and a bit more joy. So sign up today for this free resource, www.aliveandactivelife.org/courses. It's open now. I also wanted to say something about Giving Tuesday. If our articles have been helpful to you, please consider making a donation to help us cover marketing costs that make inspirational resources available. Simply go to www.aliveandactivelife.org/support. Thank you for partnering with Alive and Active Life. And now I invite you to follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list to receive weekly articles. Plus, tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app, or you could use our online player at the top of each article. Visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org, your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more, as you navigate life's challenges and issues. Sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.